This message is presented to you by Pastor James Moore and New Life Community Church in Kansas City, Missouri. For more information or to donate, please visit newlifekc.com.
As you're probably aware, several weeks ago, we began offering in-person worship services for those who are ready to get back together. We have those in our sanctuary. Now, we're still pre-recording the service, you know, like this one that you watch online each Sunday morning. But we're conducting services at the same time at the church on Sundays at 9 and 11 with a full worship set, live preaching. Anyway, after church last Sunday, a man who was visiting for the second time asked if he could meet with me. We made an appointment for Monday, and I'm excited to report that he surrendered his will to the loving lordship of Jesus Christ and was born into the family of God. Praise the Lord. After we prayed, I explained that his spirit was now new. It had been born again. And as a baby Christian, there were three things he needed in order to survive and to grow spiritually. Number one, God's Word, which is like spiritual food. I told him that as he read the Bible, his spirit would be fed. In fact, God's Word is the only formula that will nourish a newly born spirit. Number two was prayer. Prayer is like spiritual breathing. And number three, he needed fellowship, which is like spiritual exercise. You see, if he reads God's Word, but doesn't have interaction and accountability with other believers, he will tend to become spiritually obese. On the other hand, if he simply attends worship services and church activities without also having an intake of God's Word, he'll become spiritually anemic. As it says in 1 Peter, like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment. As we all know, babies need nurturing. This is one of the reasons the church exists. New Christians need the care and direction and correction provided by their pastor and other spiritual leaders. They need someone to prepare their formula, to oversee their diet, until they're able to properly feed themselves. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. The book of Hebrews, it continues on this same subject by saying, for someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what's right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who, through training, have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. You see, church, we must grow. Now, last week we talked about the necessity of having childlike faith, a faith that trusts completely in the Lord Jesus Christ. We see here, however, that while our faith should be childlike, our thinking must become mature. Why? So we can partake of solid food. Solid food is for those who are mature. And why should we want to be mature? So we will have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. And how do we attain this skill? Through training. You see, we need to view things as God does. And that will only happen as we allow God to reorient our minds to think as He thinks. Now, don't misunderstand. You don't need to worry about losing yourself to this reprogramming. God did not go to the trouble of creating each of us with a one-of-a-kind, unique, individual personality just so we can now turn us into mindless robots who just parrot back His thoughts and words. In other words, He doesn't want to dictate what we think as much as He wants to help us know how to think. Therefore, it's not about mind control, it's about mind renewal. For you see, although God wants us to fully trust Him, and He wants us to gladly serve Jesus Christ as our Master, our Lord, and our King, our minds have been contaminated by sin. Our thinking, it's become twisted and confused. And without God's help, we really have no hope. This is why today's text from 1 Corinthians is so exciting. I'd like for you to read it with, let's read it together. Will you do that? Let's read it together. We have the mind of Christ. Let's read that again. We have the mind of Christ. It's in the Bible. Think about how it would go over if, while discussing something with a friend or a coworker, you told him, "Well, as for me, I have the mind of Christ." Don't you think they might consider you a bit arrogant? Think that you maybe were doing a little boasting? I don't imagine it would go over very well in our politically correct culture of today. And yet, that is exactly what the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians. Incidentally, it probably didn't go over well in the Corinthian culture either, except within the church. See, in the church, it would have been a treasured truth and an amazing revelation. And the reason it's so amazing is that it's almost unthinkable that the mind of the one through whom the entire universe was created, the one who is the fountain of all wisdom, is available to us. But it's true. Apparently, we're not limited to our human reasoning. We're not bound by the limitations of history's greatest thinkers, who, while often going way beyond the human standards of intelligence, they've still all fallen drastically short of discovering any eternal truth by natural means. No, see, we have supernatural access to ultimate reality from an eternal perspective. Those of us who have accepted Christ, we can know the direction of history and where it's leading. And we know who holds all power in the palm of His right hand. And we know how to escape this fallen world. This vast, incomprehensible treasure is ours. That is, if we will accept it. And this is our problem. See, we often resort to lesser means of wisdom because we don't realize the mind of Christ is accessible. Or maybe we're just unable to believe such an extravagant promise. But this is crucial. If we can't believe it, we can't have it. What I'm saying is, the mind of Christ is ours through the Spirit of God, who only comes to us through faith. I'm going to say that again. The mind of Christ is ours through the Spirit of God, who only comes to us through faith. Let's confirm this with God's word, shall we? In the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, we read this. "Yet when I am among mature Christians, I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world, and not the kind that appeals to the rulers of this world, who are being brought to nothing. No, the wisdom we speak of is the secret wisdom of God, which was hidden in former times, though He made it for our benefit before the world began. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would never have crucified our glorious Lord." That is what the scriptures mean when they say, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who know Him." But we know these things because God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. And His Spirit searches out everything and shows us even God's deep secrets. No one can know what anyone else is really thinking, except that person alone. No one can know God's thoughts except God's own Spirit. And God has actually given us His Spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. When we tell you this, we do not use words of human wisdom. We speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't Christians, they can't understand these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them because only those who have the Spirit can understand what the Spirit means. We who have the Spirit understand these things, but others cannot understand us at all. How could they? For who can know what the Lord is thinking? Who can give Him counsel? But we can understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. See, the Spirit searches the deep things of God and reveals them to His people. And these things are foolishness to the world. But nevertheless, they're still true. They are truth we can know, truth we can base our lives on. So, you have your own mind, and you also have Christ's mind. Which would you rather depend on? See, we need to begin each day by acknowledging that we have no idea what we'll face that day, nor do we have the understanding to make the decisions we're going to need to make. We don't know all the details or the future implications of any decision, but God does. And He makes His wisdom available to us. We need to acknowledge our utter dependence on the mind of Christ and ask for His wisdom and believe. Amen? As it says in Romans 12:2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Okay, you say, okay, Pastor, okay, but in what ways will I see things differently when God's wisdom has actually become part of my own thinking? I mean, as a believer, what should this renewed, transformed mind look like? What a great question. You see, as Christians, there are three radical reorientations that we must undergo as we're transformed. First, we'll begin to understand our time, our treasure, and our talent much differently. A second orientation, the place we now stand will be dramatically different from the place we once stood. And this change will affect our perspective. It'll affect how we see things. And third, we're going to start looking at life's possibilities in a whole new way. And as we do, our desires will begin to lean in new directions. In other words, we'll be reoriented to live as the new creation we now are. So how do we get there? I mean, do we change suddenly? Or little by little? Is it by the diligence of our effort or by the merciful gift of God? Is it a matter of hard study or does it come by spiritual osmosis? And the answer is all of the above. God is generous with all of His children, and because of His great mercy and His goodwill, He desires to give us His mind. We can be sure of that. However, it requires that we diligently search His Word, that we diligently seek His guidance, that we diligently cooperate with His plan and receive His correction and wait patiently for His providence. In other words, we are to boldly persevere in our ambitious drive to receive the completely free gift of God's wisdom. Now, if you were a child when you became a Christian, and you don't remember much about the difference between your new life and your old one, you may not realize the radical nature of your new mind. Or if you once did know the power of transformation, but you've since let that slide into some kind of a hybrid mixture of the new and the old, you may have forgotten the constant call of the new creation. In either case, I urge you to let your mind be transformed. Let your life be renewed again and again and again. It is a lifelong process, my friend. It is a work God will not complete in you until the day He calls you into His presence. So never settle for the status quo. Don't allow yourself to grow complacent or stale. Never lose sight of the upward call of God, the call out of the ways of this world and into His will and into His wisdom. The Apostle James says this, "If any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault." Notice, He does not just give it to us. We have to ask. But why? Why does God require a process in order for us to gain the wisdom? Why doesn't He just give wisdom to us? Well, I hope you'll pay close attention to the answer to this question. Are you ready? Why doesn't God just give us His wisdom? Because by requiring that we ask for His wisdom and requiring that we receive it brings us into relationship with Him. Do you understand that He wants a relationship with us? The wisdom we receive is not simply information that's imparted. No, it's character that's learned. As we observe who He is, we learn to behave like Him. And in the process, guess what? We come to know Him better. So although His wisdom is readily available, we still must communicate. We must ask because He wants an interactive relationship. Have you found yourself needing guidance in a situation? Well, sure. We all have. And our usual tendency as Christians is to pray for direction, right? But God has a better way. Therefore, listen, instead of praying for direction, pray for wisdom, and the direction will become clear. You see, if we pray for direction and God answers, He will simply be giving us information. But if we pray for wisdom, God answers by giving us His own mind. Let me say it another way. The only time we tend to call upon God for wisdom is when we find ourselves in a tough spot. We find ourselves in a difficult or impossible situation. But you see, this verse suggests an ongoing process, not just a one-time request in a moment of need. You see, instead of waiting to ask for wisdom on the day we're at our wits' end, we should ask for wisdom every day. Why? I'll tell you why. Because sooner or later, we will find ourselves at wits' end. And God would like for us to have His mind in advance. So rather than being instructions for a way to go, wisdom is training for a way of living. So how about you? Do you need direction? Guidance? Do you need wisdom from above? Well, the crucial step, and the one usually neglected, is to ask God. But usually we just try to figure it out on our own, don't we? How often do we ask advice from everyone else before we ask God? But James makes it clear what we should do. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. But please note the requirement. When he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. Oh, how easily we forget the prerequisite. God's extravagant gift of wisdom is given only when a prior condition is met. See, when we ask, we must believe. Otherwise, the wisdom won't come. Now, why? What do you imagine God's reasoning is regarding this? I mean, why does God require us to believe? I mean, it's as simple as, I won't answer unless you believe. Well, of course, it is that, but it's more. See, we must believe ahead of time. We must believe that the wisdom he gives is wisdom that must be followed. See, in other words, if we're not committed ahead of time to heeding and doing what he says, he doesn't answer us. This is a hugely important truth. If we don't purpose in our hearts to do his will, we'll have a difficult time, if ever, discovering it. See, many Christians ask for God's wisdom as an option to throw into the mix. I mean, God's wisdom becomes one possibility among a whole range of other options. And if we're only requesting his advice, he won't give it. He only gives solutions that he expects to be implemented. God doesn't give suggestions to be considered. Are you tracking with me? The commandment to follow comes first. Yes, the mind of God is generously granted to us, but only so we will obey. It's not a shopping item, and it doesn't come with a return policy either. Unfortunately, though, when it comes to daily living, we tend to trust a lot of other sources. Few of us have learned to trust the Lord alone. Isn't that true? We usually trust the Lord and financial resources. We trust the Lord and medical research. We trust the Lord and the counselor's advice or popular opinion or any number of other avenues of assistance. And by the way, not that any of these are necessarily bad. It's just that the real issue is our heart attitude of trust. Do we know in our hearts that our help really comes from God alone. In reality, if we ask for God's will as an option to consider rather than a command to obey, doesn't that mean we're placing our intellect above His? Doesn't that mean we're putting ourselves in the position of authority with Him submitting to our proposals? Well, I can assure you, God will not relate to us that way. When He speaks, there is no better option. He is the authority. The omniscient Creator does not offer us a second-rate plan. His direction is always the right one. This kind of trust requires a certain amount of courage. I mean, it hangs everything on an invisible God. No false idols, no confidence in the flesh, no backup plans, no pride. Without a doubt, it is a very courageous position to take. But in the end, we'll see it is actually the safest trust there is. The record shows that God has never failed anyone, ever. Psalm 40, verse 4 says, "Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust." So how about you? When you ask God for His wisdom, do you do it with a resolve that no matter what, you're going to obey it? Or do you do it with a willingness to consider it? Now, I ask this because if you're only willing to consider obeying God's wisdom, don't expect it to come. Instead, you can expect to be tossed around like a wave in a storm. However, if your heart will commit to His way is easily found. Because, see, He's eager to make His wisdom available. Therefore, acknowledge your utter dependence on the mind of Christ. Commit to following His instructions, whatever they are, and believe that He will give you His wisdom. And if you'll do these three things, you'll have the higher mind of Christ. Oh, and then do you know what to do next? Ask for His wisdom. Apply it in your life according to God's word. And expect to be blessed. Let's pray. Lord God, I earnestly pray for everyone hearing me right now. I pray they will step out in faith, fully trusting in Your love and in Your power and Your wisdom. And as they commit to obeying whatever You say, may they receive Your wisdom and apply it to their lives and be blessed. All for the glory of God. In Your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more information, please visit newlifekc.com.